Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening at 7 p.m. on the East Coast time and 4 p.m. here on the West Coast. This is the Voice of Reason talk show with your host, Wayne Cooper. So glad you could join us today. And today I want to talk about something that I think is on the minds of most people. I want to talk about a look at America on the anniversary of the death of George Floyd. Actually, that anniversary was on yesterday, or today, actually. And I want to just kind of reflect and then just talk a little bit about what has changed, if anything at all. What has changed, maybe in two categories, as it relates to America as a whole and maybe within the Black community, because I think that's important. You know, the one thing that when someone dies, we don't want their death to be in vain, that's for sure. And so we want to take a look at it. And so I've committed 30 minutes to this show to try to take a look at that and to answer some of these questions. And so as I stated, a year ago, we all watched in horror as George Floyd was essentially murdered in the eyes of the world by rogue police officer Derek Chauvin. And here we are a year later, and some things have changed. That is undeniable, and I want to get to it. And again, I want to thank you for you know, tuning in. I know that people are busy. And I know that all of us have things that we can be doing, but I want to thank you. And if you feel so led to call, and you can call me, and we could, I can entertain any questions you may have or just to hear any thoughts you may have at 914-205-5527. That's 914-205-5527. Seven. So getting right to it, as we look at America on the anniversary of the death of George Floyd, so I can think of several things that has changed in America. And let me just go through them. I won't belabor the points. I don't think that's necessary, but I want to just talk about it. So we can say that there's definitely been some global tributes and protests. And, you know, to bring attention to this issue as we talk about racial inequality or racial justice. And if you have been paying attention, you can see that as far away as London, Tokyo, and even Auckland, New Zealand. There has been global tributes to the life of George Floyd, to the Black Lives Matter movement. So there's been no doubt a lot of tributes and protests to that movement. And then as we've seen for the last couple of years, but especially last year and right after the George Floyd murder, we continue to see various statues being torn down. Now, I realize that many of us have different feelings about that. Not everybody is in agreement with that, but we have seen statues being torn down, and some are being torn down, you know, in a way that is disrespectful, and some are being brought down, you know, due to the vote of local, you know, city council, you know, people and things like that. And some of these statutes and memorials are being put into, you know, museums and things like that. And maybe that's a good thing, because the one thing you don't want to do is to forget about your history. Okay, history is there for a purpose. So whether you agree with the history or not, you still need to learn from it, okay? And then, of course, there are companies that have been standing in solidarity with the Black Lives movement, okay? The Black Lives Matters movement. And so, if you, in fact, you can look at commercials and you see different commercials where that is seen. And if you go to stores, maybe local, or if you see things again on infomercials or commercials, you can see that. And then there's even been, well, we've seen that there have been police officers charged in the George Floyd murder. We see, of course, we've seen Derek Chauvin. He was tried and convicted, and he's in prison awaiting sentencing later on, I think sometime in July, I think, if my memory served me right. And then, of course, the other four police officers that were there on that fateful day, they are awaiting trial there in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So police officers have been charged. So it's been a year later. So we can see that justice is being served in the case of George Floyd. And then there are some police departments that are making some changes. So, for example, in Minneapolis, where this event, this unfortunate event happened, the police department have banned the chokeholds movement there, you know, the chokehold, I should say, the chokehold thing that they do to subdue criminals. And then Breonna, you know, Taylor situation there in Louisville, Kentucky, they have done away with the no-knock warrant. That is a issue there, that is a controversial issue there. They have done away with, they pretty much have scrapped that law. And so they've done that. And so, and then of course, some police departments have been defunded by their local politicians. And so I have more to say about that. You know, that's been a movement. And I would just say that many people, most people, particularly if you believe in polls, the vast majority of the American public is not in agreement with that. And so, but I'll have more to say about that. And then there's been, we've seen some donating to charities and bailing out of the protesters, if that's what you want to call them, people that have burned down buildings, that have looted stores. There have been celebrities, excuse me, there have been celebrities who have donated monies to bail out people who have, you know, committed criminal acts as it relates to burning down buildings and looting stores. And so we've seen that. And then, of course, one of the things that seems to be very prevalent in our country now is that if you're white, all of the whites are now deemed as racist, right? That's what all whites are being called. You're racist. And so there's this theory called critical race theory. And the truth is, it is a Marxist ideology and philosophy. And the unfortunate thing is that it is being forced on many of our schools, even, you know, to teach our children as young as first grade. And basically what it does is that it teaches our young kids, particularly our white kids, is that they are born racist, okay? And so many parents, I mean, not only white parents, but even black parents and Latino parents and Asian parents are fighting against that, okay? They are fighting hard against that because it simply isn't true. Not all white people are racist, okay? I venture to say the vast majority of whites are probably not racist, okay? But that is what is going on in our country right now. So CRT or critical race theory, and I'm going to do a show on that too in the future, But that is what is being pushed in America right now. And so to the whites who may be listening to me, it's an unfortunate thing, but that is what has happened. That's one of the, you could say, results of the George Floyd murder, is that now people want people in the country to believe that all whites are racist, and nothing can be further from the truth. And then, of course, we've seen that streets, various streets, have been have had name changes. And, of course, there's the Black Lives Matter Plaza in D.C. in our nation's capital. And then even in New York City, the mayor says that he's going to put a Black Lives Matter name on a street in each borough, because, you know, New York City comprises of five boroughs. And so, I don't know how you feel about it, but it's going to, that's going to happen. So if it hasn't already happened, because that was a year ago. And then one of the things we're seeing in the country is called cancel culture, because even if you look on TV, a lot of things from TV shows of yesteryear, I'm talking about 20 years ago, 25 years ago, things that were, you know, pretty much innocent, not a lot of people gave a lot of thought to it, and now all of a sudden, you know, TV, different programming is being scrubbed and taken off TV, a lot of things. And so cancel culture, anybody who says anything that is against, and this goes against the left's ideology, anybody who teach anything or believe anything that is contrary to what the left is advocating, it has to do, they will cancel you. And that's going on. And then one of the things that kind of shocked people, and I don't see this as a permanent thing, but we're talking about what happened since last year, that the state of Georgia actually turned blue during the special election. And Georgia elected not one, but two Democratic senators, okay? I don't see that happening anymore, but because of the special nature of this election and because a lot of people were very angry, they were angry at former President Trump, they were angry with Derek Chauvin, and they were angry at the situation revolving around George Floyd's death. A lot of people were angry and came out to vote. And, you know, there was a lot of people that were registered who probably never would have registered. But thanks to Stacey Abrams, she did her work. You got to give her credit. She did her work, and she registered over a million people, even for that special election. And those people came out to vote. And as a result, two Democratic senators were elected. So now, essentially, it's 50-50 in the United States Senate, of course, with the vice president being a Democrat. The toss-up goes to the Democratic as, in terms of being the majority, okay? So those are some of the things that have changed in America since 1 year ago, since the death of George Floyd, okay? And then I could have named some things that hasn't changed, but for time's sake, let me take the rest of my time and talk about, as it relates to the black community, because George Floyd died a horrific death, and the simple truth is the man should not be dead, okay? I don't care what his background is. I know that there are people who believe that because someone may have, you know, have had a criminal background, they may have had a background of drug use or drug abuse, that kind of thing, that somehow, you know, people are indifferent, they are insensitive when people are killed senselessly. Well, let me be clear on this show. I do not take that position, okay? I obviously did not know George Floyd, but George Floyd was a human being. He was somebody's son. He was somebody's father. He was somebody's brother. And he obviously meant something to other people. And his life and the dignity of his life should have been cared for, and he should have been respected, okay? So even if he had a fake $20 bill that he was using to buy drugs or to buy or to steal something from a local market or whatever it was, whatever the case was, I don't care what he was doing. Short of trying to take the life of another human being, George Floyd should be on this earth today, okay? Now, that being said, I want to just highlight some things because, you know, when people die, we hope that good things can come out of it, okay? We hope that, as we said, that a person's life would not be in vain. You know, when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was murdered, a lot of good things changed in America. A lot of things happened. We know that and when he died, I was just a little boy, and I can tell you that when he died, you know, a lot of things happened. You know, the civil rights movement obviously was right. We were in the throes of the civil rights movement, and the civil rights movement of 1964. Was a big thing, and so many things passed. You know, segregation was done away with, and you know, we're talking about schools were integrated. Even before people could not marry who were of different ethnic groups, so interracial marriage was permitted, and the list goes on and on. And we could talk about that, you know, in a show all by itself. But my point is, a lot of good things happened as a result of Dr. King's labor as a civil rights fighter and a civil rights leader. And so we can say that for sure, Dr. King and many others, we can say that their lives and their living were not in vain. And George Floyd was no Martin Luther King. Let me be clear, okay? He was no George Floyd. So I'm not going to elevate him and highlight him as if he was some kind of saint or that he was some kind of person who was a civil rights fighter or leader. He was clearly not any of that, okay? But that being said, it is my hope that something good could come out of his death. So I want to just highlight some things because I want to say this as it relates specifically to the black community, okay? I highlighted what I believe in terms of what the changes were to America, and I think some of those things that you heard, many of us can say that some of those things were good things, and I hope that we continue to go down the road of the good things that may have taken place. But as it relates to the black community, okay, there are a lot of things that haven't changed that we need to see change. For example, the one thing, because there are some things that have changed, but it's not for the better, okay? For example, the crime rate has escalated in every major inner city in America, okay? The crime rate, and I'll give you some stats on that, you know, just a little later, but the crime rate has escalated. So you think about every major inner city. So if you talk about New York City, where there's a high percentage of black people and Latino people and other minorities, the crime rate has escalated. You think about like cities like Chicago, St. Louis, Baltimore, Detroit, Cleveland, Los Angeles, you know, Compton, and places like that, you know, Ferguson, all those places, the crime rate has not gone down, but it has risen, it has escalated. And so that ought to give us a concern because we're seeing that, okay? And then, as I mentioned earlier, there's been this cry about defunding the police. Well, I think there's a good thing that has occurred there, a change, and that is the defund the police crowd. By and large, that movement has failed, okay? Because right after George Floyd was killed, after he was killed or murdered, Minneapolis was the first police force in all of America to heed the cry of the people, to defund the police. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, when that occurred, do you know that the crime rate went up somewhere, I remember reading, like 164%, okay? The crime rate. We're talking about homicides. We're talking about rape. We're talking about robbery. We're talking about car theft and all of that. All of that stuff combined, the crime rate went up to about 164%. And let me tell you, it got so bad, not to mention, by the way, over 220 police officers from Minneapolis alone retired prematurely. In other words, as soon as they became eligible to retire, they decided they could not take it anymore. They got tired of being blamed and being castigated and denigrated. And guess what they did? They retired, all right? And let me tell you what happened. Crime got so bad in Minneapolis and the surrounding area. Guess what the city council did? They refunded the police department. And they're in the process of now trying to hire more police, because guess what they had to do? They had to call for help in the outskirts of Minneapolis and even some of the federal law enforcement agencies to help them out, because crime had gotten so bad. So this whole defund the police thing, it did not work. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it will not work. And let me say specifically to the black community, say what you will or may, that we make up 13% of the population, but over 52% of the crime that's committed in this country is committed by members of the black community. So in other words, we commit a disproportionate amount of the crimes in the country. So, and again, if you believe in the polls that you can, I'm talking about polls from almost every persuasion, whether it's liberal, conservative, what have you, all of the polls show that even within the black community, the vast majority of the black community do not approve of defunding the police. So that movement has failed, as it should have, because whenever trouble comes, we all know who are the first people we're going to call, okay? And so then the Black Lives Movement, not the movement, but the leadership has been exposed as a fraud. Now, if you think I'm just saying this, I was listening to family members of the young man Tamir Rice, and I was listening to the mother and family members of Breonna Taylor, and just about 2 days ago, I was listening to a grandmother in Minneapolis, whose grandson, I believe about 10 years old, was shot and killed, and they all lambasted the Black Lives Matter leadership, not the movement, but the leadership, and said that they were very fraudulent, because some of you may have heard that Black Lives Movement leadership, that organization took in over $90 million. $90 million, ladies and gentlemen. And the people have not heard, from that organization, okay? And the people want to know, where have the money gone? And then they discovered that the leader, Ms. Cullors, have brought at least two or three homes that combined over like $4.2 or maybe $5.2 million, okay? And ironically, houses that are in the upscale white communities here in Southern California. And yet, You know, she's trying to get away from white people, but guess where she moved to? In the white neighborhoods, okay? And so this organization seems to be a scam. And remember, she said that they are trained Marxists. So it has nothing to do with the black community, all right? Has nothing to do with black lives. And let me tell you something. I'm just going to say this. From what I've seen, what I've observed, what I've researched, what I've read, what I continue to listen to and see with my own eyes, the Black Lives Matters leadership is just a fraud. In fact, some of you may not even know, the other two co-founders are no longer even a part of the organization. You can fact check me, you can look it up, that those two other women who was a part of that movement are no longer even there, okay? I should say the organization are no longer even there. It's just one person essentially that is the lead person, and she's racking up, okay? So anyways, so when you talk about George Floyd dying and all of that, Black Lives Matters leadership is not who you look to, okay? So that's one thing. Then the black-on-black crime continues to be a major problem for the black community, not the police. One of the biggest lies that the left sells to the black community is that black men are being hunted down by white police officers and being shot and killed. That is a bold-faced lie. There is nothing statistically that supports that, okay? And by the way, let me just tell you. So as I told you, that the crime has escalated. So homicides in our inner cities, I'm talking about Chicago, and I'll get specific, but homicides is up 33%, okay, this year compared to last year. And we're not even finished this year. We're not even in the half point of this year yet, okay? Shootings are 40% for the same period, all right? And we're talking about now in Chicago. Then when you add New York City, murders jump 14% through March of this year, okay? Shootings were up 50%. Los Angeles had an increase of homicides 36% through March. And then cities like Chicago, Houston, Texas, Memphis, Tennessee saw surges in homicide last year with an increase of 100 or more killings compared to the previous year, which is 2019. And so when we hear this stuff about how black men are being hunted down like animals, you know, to be shot down and killed in our streets. You know, we get people up in arms, and everybody wants to blame the police, and all white cops are racist, and all they want to do is kill black men. Ladies and gentlemen, I am a fair and balanced person. If that were true, I would speak the truth. I'm not afraid of anybody. I would speak the truth. Listen. In 2019, the FBI statistics clearly states that that 13, listen, in the whole year of 2019, 13 unarmed black men were killed by the police, shot and killed by the police in all of 2019. You heard me? 13, okay? And then the statistics show that there are more whites annually that are killed than blacks are by the police every single year, okay? And remember, we only make up 13% of the population, and yet we commit a disproportionate amount of the crimes. So this narrative that the left sells us to get us up in arms, to get our people hating white people, hating Republicans, hating conservatives, and all of that just to support them, it is a bold-faced lie. So I just wanted to come and say to us, we got to be wise. We got to do our own research. We got to be fair. We got to be honest. And we got to do our part to make our community better. So I wanted to come and share that with you. So until the next time, this is the Voice of Reason Talk Show with your host, Wayne Cooper. Until we meet again, may God bless all of you.